You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Stephanie Navinskas. Stephanie is CEO of Sizzle Force Marketing, a strategic copywriting agency. Since 1995, Stephanie has developed brand building campaigns that have been used by Fortune 500 companies, including Starbucks, Quiksilver, and the National Football League, along with hundreds of small, privately owned companies. She is also the creator of Sizzle Force Marketing Academy, a digital training platform for small business owners who want to learn how to master their own marketing. She has written for Forbes and Entrepreneur magazines, and is the author of the international number one bestseller, Absolutely Unforgettable, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Creating a Heart-Centered Brand and Standing Out in a Noisy World. Stephanie, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I'm very excited to be here.
And I have to share with listeners, your last name is Navinskas, as I said, and I always get a check on pronouncing names beforehand. And you made me aware of a line that I will now be stealing that is, don't be intimidated by the number of letters. But that should
That's right.
not be surprising to anyone after a bio like yours, where you have really focused on being a with strategic copywriting, you've really focused on the right words. So that that turn of phrase should not be so surprising to me. So what led you to the focus on words? We talk with so many brand builders at all different levels, but I think there's very few that we've spoken with that have really zeroed in and run a copywriting agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are so many different components to the branding wheel, right? There's so many different spokes to it. And at one time in my career, when I was early on working in the corporate space, I had to focus on all of those spokes because, you know, I was a marketing manager and then a marketing director and whatnot. And you have to deal with the visual components of the brand and the written components of the brand and the experience components of the brand and whatnot. And as I progressed in my career, I really just realized where my superpower was and what I love doing the most. And that came in the form of words and really developing the words that communicated the emotions that connected with people in a heart-centered and authentic way and drove people to make decisions based on those words.
So talk to me about those two phrases that were in there that were also sprinkled within your bio talking about being heart-centered.
So we live in a very plastic world these days, right? Like we're more connected than we've ever been, but we're also more disconnected than we've ever been. If you try and call your cell phone carrier, for example, you're going to be greeted by an automated phone tree and you're going to have to push 18,000 different buttons and say something 20 different ways before you can actually get a human being to talk with you, right? In the process of putting people through this exercise, we've really lost the heart connection where two human beings are able to converse with one another and communicate something that matters and something that drives somebody to take a meaningful action. Does that make sense?
It does. It really kind of highlights this challenge that we find ourselves navigating today, but it prompts the follow-up question. So what do you do? How can you connect with something that it seems like we're getting further and further away from?
Yeah, I think, you know, automation has a time and place for sure, right? It's important to automate to streamline our business activities. However, there needs to be a human behind the automation, and there needs to be a point when the human being will step in and empathize with whatever challenge the person that is trying to work with you or do business with you is having, right? And so there are ways that this can be done, and I got to give little kudos to T-Mobile. Right? That's my cell phone carrier, right? I don't care for the way that when I call in, I have to wait so long to get a human. However, the kudos come in that once I do, usually, you know, you call your cell phone carrier because you've got a problem with your phone, with your coverage, with your whatever, or your bill, whatever it could be. And I have found recently when I call, that they have changed the script that they give to their call center employees in that they'll say, "Hi, Stephanie, how can we help you today?" And I'll say, "Well, I've got this grievance, blah, blah, blah." And the caller will always reiterate the problem that they heard me say and say, "Wow, that's really frustrating." Or, "Wow, that must be really challenging." Or, "My goodness, I can understand why you're annoyed. Let's get that fixed today." Right? That empathy that they're showing is creating that heart-centered connection. So no longer is it me, the angry customer, calling the defensive business, right? Now it's the unhappy customer, or no, I wouldn't use it unhappy, but the customer with a challenge calling the company that has the power to either pour gas on the flame of that challenge or extinguish that challenge.
Right.
And T-Mobile does a really good job of extinguishing it through that heart-centered script that they're using.
Well, and it's interesting because the heart can sound like, I think most of us think, warmth and affection, but that example specifically to find that heart connection, it is about kind of mapping that pain point too.
Absolutely. And it's all about empathy. It's all about empathy, which, you know, as a whole, our culture has forgotten to be empathetic. Our culture has leaned drastically toward, you know, looking out for number one and being self-serving and how can I take care of me instead of how can I take care of others. And that's where that empathy is so powerful in creating connections.
So, at the risk of oversimplifying, but to reiterate, brands to stand out today need to practice empathy maybe more than we historically have been before.
Absolutely. It needs to be a primary component of building a brand. You need to understand what the problems are, and more importantly, you need to understand how those problems make your people feel. And then you have to empathize with those feelings. That's how you lower the defenses.
Now, thinking of your people, it makes me think of the additional challenge of having two groups of people to marshal within all of this, because we have the people that you represent when you're the customer of T-Mobile, but also the folks at T-Mobile. So it's one thing to kind of strategically align with this, but another to bring that kind of empathy into being.
Yeah, it takes definitely takes a strategic focus on part of senior management to really teach people in a workplace how to care, really. I mean, you talk about how to simplify things. But a lot of times in that example, that's one of, you know, millions of examples of how this could be experienced. But in that particular example, you know, you would think that a person that works in a call center environment probably is not super well paid. Maybe they're just kind of to punch the clock, get a paycheck, and then get out of there, right? And so having an employee at that level, teaching an employee at that level to empathize and care is an exercise. It takes a lot of training. It takes a big vision on the part of senior management, then casting down that vision throughout the company and giving people at every level a reason to care.
So with kind of as big as that lift is, so getting back to the strategic level, how can you set a plan in motion to create that a more heart-centered brand?
I think it starts with identifying why your company exists, right? What was the first person, you know, depending on the size of the company, right? But let's talk about a bigger company. Somebody at some point saw a need that could be filled, and they knew how to fill the need. But they could have done anything with their life. They could have been an astronaut. They could have been a ballerina. They could have been a teacher. They could have been a garbage man, right? Could have been anything. But for whatever reason, they chose to start this company. When you start at that point of really looking at, okay, person number one, what was your drive? Why did you do this? What is the story behind the startup? That's step one, is identifying that, because then it becomes more than just, well, I wanted to make money, so I did this, right? You know, becomes like, well, you know what? When I was growing up, let's say, for example, somebody decided to become a translator for the deaf community, okay? This is a random example, right? But somebody decided to be a translator. So why did you decide to open your translation company that now translates for the UN, right? Well, when I was growing up, my brother was deaf. And I saw how difficult it was for him to communicate and do X, Y, and Z and excel in ABC. And as his older sister, I was always working with him on trying to make it better and easier for him. And I saw the difference it made when he could communicate effectively. And that led me to where I am in starting this company. Do you see the difference where it's no longer just like, well, I started to make money. I did it because there's a purpose here.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I think especially in how we spend time planning startups, advising startups, I think there's so much time given to that aspect of the story that we run the risk of losing the really important aspect of knowing what the story behind the business is beyond the wonderful business case and why you should definitely fund this.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more, Nick.
Yeah, well, I mean, just in terms of the technical side of why this startup, why this new venture makes sense versus having the story like you just articulated, I think is a step that's easy to get disconnected from, and it can lead you down, I think, a dangerous path because you run the risk of getting further out of touch with what that story is.
That's right. And the thing is that the heart-centered connection, it starts with person number one that started the company and their heart, right? But then that trickles down throughout the company. And when person number one is able to communicate it, regardless of the size of the company, with person number two, person number three, all the way up to person number 5,000, understands the starting point and why we do what we do and why it makes a difference today in the marketplace, then everybody is empowered to be more empathetic with who they're serving.
Do you struggle to keep up with everything that's new with marketing today? Don't get frustrated. Get scrappy. I'd love to bring my Get Scrappy keynote to your next conference or corporate event. With a foot in the classroom and a foot in the field working with clients, I know what works and why, and I can't wait to share it with you during a talk that mixes strategic insights with tactical, practical tips. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
Bringing up the role of leaders is key, and I think that certainly has different... I'm trying to think if that's easier or harder based on the organization's size. What are your thoughts there?
I think the smaller the organization, the easier it is to implement, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have fewer people that you have to influence, and influencing 10 people is a lot easier than influencing 5,000. However, if part of your hiring process is screening people for their ability to connect with people in a heart-centered way, right? Maybe there's something that you do when you onboard people, regardless of their position. There are certain things that you look for to know that they're going to fit in that company culture of being empathetic and heart-centered.
Well, it's interesting because I'm glad you pointed that out, because I think that's sometimes a misconception that small organizations have, that we aren't able to do this. But I think especially when you talk about the core story, about why this business is where it is, there's a better chance in a smaller organization that you've actually met, and spoken with, and heard that story from the founder themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I run a small company, right? But my employees have all heard my story, my vision, my why, and the people that I hire, I look for those skills, right? I look for those skills. And then I find out what matters to them, what makes them tick, and I create those connections between their story, my story, and our customer's story. So everybody has, they're working for more than a paycheck. They're working for a purpose.
So say you're at an organization where there's a disconnect with that purpose, and you're the leader, and you're wondering how you can socialize this story more. What advice do you give?
I think one of the most powerful things that, you know, if founder is still there or someone in senior management can do is actually to call a company-wide meeting. And to get really raw and really real with people, and this is going to feel uncomfortable for a lot of large organizations. It's going to feel like, wow, we've got business to do. This is really touchy-feely stuff, right? But it is so effective, right? So you call a company-wide meeting, and let's say, you know, with a larger organization, there's going to be a lot of meetings, right? But a company-wide meeting probably doesn't happen all too often, right? When everybody comes to that, they're going to know, well, something important is about to happen, right? And then somebody of influence gets in the front and says, you know, you guys are all used to these, you know, our company meetings when we have new product releases, or we're introducing a new service, or we're doing X, Y, and Z. But today we want to talk to you about something different. We want to talk to you about why we do what we do. And I, as the founder of this company, want to start by telling you where this came from. The job that we do every day, whether you're in accounting and you're crunching numbers, or you're in janitorial and you're sweeping the floor, right? The job that we do today is not just a job. There's a reason why we're doing the work that we do. So let's dial back the hands of time. And let me share some stuff with you that you probably don't know about me, and you probably don't know about those of us up in the C-suite. I want to tell you a little bit about the why and get you connected to the vision when we started and where we're going. And I think that's the kind of thing that makes people be like, wow, this is purposeful work.
Well, and that's part of the other kind of magic of the why side of that, because if you've done that work properly, there shouldn't be just too many cycles between I sweep the floors here, I answer the phone here, and that kind of core need of making a difference, of why this organization exists.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
that's right.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say everybody has a very important role in making the corporation clock tick, if you want to say, right? And so when people understand the big vision, and then they understand their role within that big vision and why their particular job duties are so important to bringing the bigger vision to life, it just changes the entire culture.
And when you've done this kind of homework internally, I would imagine then it gets even easier to, or more aligned at the very least, to turn that message outward, whether that is to, you know, as part of strategic marketing campaigns that you're helping with, but also back to that person at T-Mobile that understands the new corporate direction at that point of empathy and understands why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So looking externally, what else can we do to infuse more of our communication with empathy and heart to stand out?
What can we do? A lot of it comes with the word choices that you select, right? So a lot of times people will use just kind of bland verbiage, words that fall flat that are, you know, whether they're overused or they just don't have that punch and power behind them. So you want to get in the habit of ensuring that any communications, whether it's your social media posts, your website copy, your video scripts, your phone scripts, whatever it is, you want to make sure those scripts are laden with powerful words, right? The words that make people feel things, the words that make people want to take action, the words that make people want to respond in some way. Like Hollywood does this so beautifully. When you watch any of the, you know, the Oscar films and whatnot, when you watch these films, you feel things. You're rooting for the underdog, or you're crying because you feel the pain of the storyline, or you're laughing hysterically because you're in the moment of humor and comedy and whatnot, right? We need to get better at adapting some of those Hollywood storyline techniques into corporate communications.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I love that point, and I think that we miss that and kind of rely on these bland words, overused words. Do you have one that I love talking to word people that is high up on your pet peeve list, being a word person?
Oh, words that are on my pet peeve list. Oh, dear gracious, I've got so many. Where would I start? Oh, good. We care. That's two words. Oh, that one drives me nuts.
We care.
When people are talking about, you know, supposedly how they're different in the marketplace, and they say, well, we really care. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this. It would probably be up toward thousands of times. But I've seen some derivation of we care or we really care or something like that. And it drives me absolutely nuts because I'm like, well, you better care. If you don't care, why are you in business? Duh. Right? It's such a no-brainer expectation. And then people will rebuttal that and they'll say, yeah, but our competitors don't care. They're just cutthroat about the money. I'll be like, but nobody cares. Nobody cares about that, right?
Yeah.
People want to know why you care, right? That's different than we care.
Again, it's at least getting in the ballpark, but it's one of those things that needs to be workshopped further, and you can do that with the magic three-letter word of why. Why is how you care
right.
Different.
Right.
Well, that is great. Well, Stephanie, we have reached the time where I have to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
I love everything poopery.
Aha. Well,
I do. I love everything that they do. I mean, it might have something to do with the fact that I have three teenagers in my house, and two of whom are boys. And so we have a certain vocabulary in this house that is spoken of a lot. Yeah. But the poopery is, the Harmon brothers have just done an amazing job communicating that brand well.
Awesome. Well, I would be remiss not to plug our episode from, I think, a couple years ago with Poopery founder Susie Batiz, who told a lot of, actually, it lines up to this episode to a T, because as a leader, talked about that story. It's, again, a fun story and a fun example. But really how they've made that a part of their brand, both internally and externally. So I'll link up to that, and certainly a brand that is full of many smiles as well. Stephanie, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
My website is sizzleforce.com. I like to say it's sizzle like bacon, force like may the force be with you. So sizzleforce.com, and you can also find out more. You can look up some articles that I've written. If you search Forbes or Entrepreneur Magazine online, you can read some additional articles where I've shared some more feedback.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to that in our show notes. Stephanie, thanks for joining us on Brand.
Thank you so much, Nick. It's been a pleasure.
And remember, if you want to show some empathy, some heart for the On Brand podcast, you can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. You can find the show on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.